Hej och välkomna till Svensk Träpodden. And a special welcome to our international listeners. And I will just say some brief words in Swedish and after that we will turn back to English. Svenskt Trä, för er som inte redan vet det, vi är en organisation som arbetar för en ökad träanvändning i Sverige och i världen. Vi vill att trä och träprodukter ska bli en del av människors vardag, för vi tror att detta fantastiska naturliga material sitter på lösningen på flera av de stora problemen som vi ser i världen idag. 70% av Sveriges yta är täckt med skog som varje dag använder sol, vatten och koldioxid för att växa sig ännu större. Så Sveriges möjligheter att bidra till en ny träålder, de är enorma. Och det är det vi jobbar för. Jag heter Mattias Fridholm. Jag leder verksamheten på Svenskt Trä. Och det är också jag som ska leda vår lilla diskussion idag. But now I will switch the language and the rest of this episode will be held in English and there is a specific reason for that. This week, every year, much of the Swedish wood industry and also some of our international colleagues have an annual market seminar in Karlstad. For obvious reasons, we could not hold that this year. So I hope that today's episode of the Swedish Wood Pod will at least to some extent replace that seminar. We have gathered a group of people here in the studio in Stockholm and we will also have a secret guest who will join us from somewhere in Europe. And together we will have a discussion about the wood market. And needless to say, there will be a lot of discussions about how Corona has affected our industry. How have the Swedish sawmills coped with this so far? Will there be any long-term implications on the trade patterns in the wood industry? And then, of course, we will introduce our secret guest. And with me here in the studio, I have Christian Nielsen. You are a market analyst for the Swedish Forest Industry Federation. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing in your everyday work?
Thank you, Mattias. As you mentioned, I work with market intelligence for the Swedish Forest Industries Federation and also work quite closely with yourself at Swedish Wood. In that position, I tend to look out in the world and see what happens in the sawnwood markets. I actually just started 1st of April this year, and it has been an eventful start, I must say.
I can imagine.
Perhaps we'll get back to that.
Probably, yes. Welcome, Christian.
Thank you.
We also have Johan Padel here. You are CEO of Holmen Timber. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about Holmen for those who maybe not know so much about it.
Yes, Holmen is one of the biggest forest owners in Sweden, and we have five business areas: paperboard, paper, timber, energy and forest. And I manage the timber business.
Welcome, Johan.
Thank you very much.
And then we have Fredrik Wallenstad. You are marketing director of Moelven Timber. Moelven, you are also very active in the Karlstad seminar normally because you have a lot of your activities in that region, right?
Exactly. It will be a very different year when it comes to November. Moelven is one of the Northern European biggest wood mechanic industries with sawmills, component industries and planing mills, glulam and so on. And I run the international sales for Moelven.
Mm. Very good. So let's get started. And I was thinking that of course, in a market discussion, we need to look forward. But let's start by looking back a little bit. And let's go back about 1 year in time to late autumn, early winter 2019, when no one had ever heard of something called COVID. Christian, can you give us a little bit of a view and a journey of how the sawmills have experienced this period?
Sure. And I think I would actually like to take it perhaps even 1 year further back. We came out of 2018 with a lot of news of record-breaking results in the sawmill industry. Prices had been soaring high, demand was soaring high, and inventory levels were quite low. And then during 2019, I think we saw a bit of a dampening or a balance year, and I think it was a bit on a threshold. Will this be a good year or will it be a bad year? And I'm not really sure where the sawmills saw that this would turn. And I think if we go exactly 1 year back from now, I think they were expecting to see that, well, these few months, this is when we will decide where the market will head for the next year. How did you see that time, Johan?
Well, I can just agree with you, Christian. It was a difficult year in many respects. It was a year we came from a high level of results and high prices, went into the summer and the autumn, and the temperature was really going down. And the autumn was not a very good sawmill year, and we were a bit nervous about what will come out for 2020.
But then, Christian, something happened there in early 2020 that quite dramatically improved the situation for the Swedish mills.
Yeah, I mean, we saw quite high demand first quarter 2020. And when you start looking at why, well, our good neighbors, the Finnish sawmillers, who are also quite a big sawmilling nation, they actually had some strikes and some production declines, especially during February, where actually their production was only half. And I think it's quite safe to say that a lot of the demand that came usually to the Finnish colleagues ended up at the Swedish sawmills instead during this period.
Fredrik, do you agree? Was that the situation for Moelven as well?
Absolutely. We had a quite tough 2019, not when it comes to result and earnings. It was a good year, but demand over the summer period was really, really bad. And we made some small cutdowns in production ourselves early in the autumn to balance our stocks. But then it turned around quick.
So a pretty good situation when we come into February and early March for the sawmills. But then something else happened.
Absolutely. And I mean, this was when we started hearing about the coronavirus. It was spreading through the world. But I mean, it was a thing in China, in Italy. I think in February, mid, early March, I don't think we really grasped the gravity of the situation. And around this time is actually when I started at the Swedish Wood Forest Industries Federation. And my main focus, I think, was about bark beetles in Central Europe, things like that. And you started to think in the back of your head, what's going to happen now with this coronavirus? Well, perhaps we'll see a bit of declined demand and oversupply in Central Europe due to the bark beetles. This might be difficult, but let's see what happens. And then after a few weeks, all of a sudden, I think it was you who called me and told me that, well, they've heard news in the UK. They're not accepting any deliveries anymore. It's full stop. And if we talk about contracts, they just say, well, it's Corona times.
Yeah, a quite complicated situation. I would like to hear a little bit from you, Johan. How did Holmen react to this news about the total closing of UK, for example? I guess that spread quite a lot of worries in the boardroom.
Yes, it did, for sure. And it came very suddenly, and it was a full stop, as we noticed at that time. And exactly as Christian said, contracts, yeah, that's one thing, but this was really a force majeure situation with the coronavirus. So, of course, this made us to stop contracting logs for the time being and prepare ourselves for a lockdown of our sawmills.
And for Moelven?
It was exactly the same. We saw a quick stop in UK on deliveries, which affected a lot of how we acted at the moment. We took it day by day, watched deliveries and order intake to try to evaluate how to act, but we prepared to have total lockdowns per industry, and we cut down quite a lot on harvesting of logs.
Yeah, and I think this was following the news at this time was quite interesting. So, I mean, there was news from some companies that will at some specific sawmills will cut down production by 10-25%. Some didn't go out with any announcements or anything. And from my side, just following the figures, it was kind of trying to understand what will happen now. But I mean, already in May, we started to hear announcements on the other way around. Well, the UK market, it worked better than expected. They were accepting deliveries again. Things were actually starting to flow. And we got announcements that said, well, we're actually ramping up again. We're going full production. Okay. And looking at the statistics on production, well, April was a significant drop in production from Swedish sawmills on aggregate, about down 10% or so. And in my position, you always try to think 1 month ahead, what's going to happen next month. And given this news about ramping up, I thought, well, we're going to be back on typical production again for May. Well, that wasn't really the case. We were still 10% down. And you start thinking, well, why? And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that this shock during April, where Swedish sawmills realized that things could just take a halt, things could just stop, that this meant that they needed to take a longer view to understand how will we cope for the next month, for the next 6 months, how will we cope for half a year or a year from now? And we can actually see the effects of this several months later even. We can see that production in July, a typical summer month, with by all means a lower production. But this year it was, I think, 25% down from typical production levels.
So with this low production, I mean, when you were then the mills, when you were sitting there in April and you had the lockdown in UK, that must have been the time when you decided to maybe cut production during the summer months. But is that something you regret now, considering how that the markets didn't turn out as bad as we thought? Johan, how was it for Holmen?
Well, it was very much like that. We decided already in April, then when we had this difficult situation, that we will reduce our production during the summertime, which we normally run full speed in our bigger mills. But this summer we said we take a summer holiday break, so to say. I also think that the situation did not improve very fast. It was a gradually improvement from May, so we were still very unsure how will the market develop during the summer. I wouldn't say that the signals were super clear at that time. Is it really full speed ahead? So I think it was the right decision. I think that the lower production which the Swedish mills have had during the summer period has improved in the situation we are at right now. So I think it was the right decision.
Mm. And Fredrik, from Moelven's point of view, what was your reasoning in April last year?
As I said before, we took it day by day, week by week, and we actually only had to cut down production on components, specifically for UK. Otherwise, the sawmills, we ran full production all spring, all summer. We had a normal production. And the reason for us that it worked out is that we managed to turn, when China opened up to buy lumber again, we were really quick and active and managed to get containers so we could sell a much higher volume to China during that period when Europe was locking down. And since then it has been full speed.
Were there any other markets than, we know about China, they had a very early lockdown where we were a bit worried about that, and then they open up. Were there any other markets that also could take more volumes than normally during the UK lockdown, Johan?
Yes, I would say that the you know, this market, as you know very well, it's quite global. And I would say that the strongest market during this summer has been the US market, where we have seen tremendous volumes going and tremendous demand and tremendous volumes going from Europe to the US. So the US has really balanced up the European situation, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I would even go as far as to say that somehow that we managed to get out of this situation relatively well is also due to that we are quite used to the global trade in the Swedish sawmilling industry. We are used to that one or two markets can go very bad over a period of time, and then we can change over volumes to other markets. We are quite flexible and quite used to that way of working, and we have prepared sales organizations on many, many markets around the globe. You agree with that, Fredrik?
Absolutely. We acted very quick, and we have a very diverse production and a wide sales organization when it comes to markets over the globe. So it worked really well for us. We reduced stocks already Q1 and Q2.
So I think this puts the point to something which I've learned, and that is that Swedish sawmill industry is very capable and very good at these things that you mentioned, Matthias, to switch between markets. And it's also, I think, the reason why we've seen that on aggregate demand for Swedish sawmill products has actually been higher than usual this year. We are actually looking at high sales or high export levels to different markets. And I think this is just because of the reason of Swedish sawmill industry being able to shift between markets quickly and rapidly and flexibly wherever the demand is at any given point.
And also, of course, we must not forget that the Swedish builders merchant market has been fantastic this year. Fredrik, I know that Moelven is doing a lot of volumes into that segment.
Yeah, we've seen the same development in Sweden and Norway, Denmark, and the rest of Europe from summer has been extremely active when it comes to garden products in wood.
And has it been the same for Holmen as well?
Yes, it has. It's been a very strong domestic market, and especially the building merchant sector, and driven by the do-it-yourself activity. Of course, the homework from many people, and also the reduced possibilities to travel during the summer has increased the consumption of wood.
Yes. And we actually have a very special episode on the Swedish Wood Pod just about the building market in Sweden. And we will come back to that more in a later episode. Fredrik, I have to ask you, Moelven is a Swedish-Norwegian company. And Sweden and Norway has handled this pandemic in very different ways. How has that affected you as a company?
Not much, really. We have, as many other companies, had regulations. We have regulations about how many people we meet from how many companies, how we handle visitors, if we are having any visitors, traveling restrictions. But mainly, I don't see any big difference in our company compared to other Swedish companies. The big thing for us is that we have a border in between that is handled by the Norwegians, different from the Swedish governments. So it's been a bit tricky to travel over the border some periods. That's the main main difference, I think.
So Christian, if we then start to look at this autumn and where we are today for the sawmills, what's your view on that?
Well, I think that first, this planning period that we discussed and the lower production up until July, I think We saw a break there, and things kind of got a new start in August. That's when companies realized that the demand has been high, or rather they realized earlier, but plans were already set. And from August forward, they were able to have new plans and actually produce at full capacity. During this time, we also saw some quite large events in the world, for example, in the US. I think it was over the course of a week or two, prices there increased by 100% or more, which is quite a drastic change.
So US has also, in the current situation, been one of the reasons that the Swedish mills are coping quite well. Is that how I can interpret this, Johan?
Yes, I would say so. We ourselves started with the US market due to the bark beetle, actually, a year ago about. And we can see now that it's been a strong demand from the U.S. during this summer, and that is one of the reasons for the strong market we have right now.
And we see in the statistics that inventory levels are quite low, and that's not only in the sawmills, it's also out at the customer's site. So how do you view the rest of this year and maybe Q1 next year? I mean, it's not high season for wood consumption, at least not here in Europe. But yeah, what do you think, Fredrik? You first.
If we just look at the facts we have, if we look at our order books, low stock levels at our industries, customer stock levels, it looks positive, of course, and the demand we feel it is still strong also in Europe, not only US, but then if we put some other question marks up, which are not so small, about development of COVID, restrictions per country on a higher and higher level every week now, it will be interesting to go through this period as well. But right now it looks extremely good.
Mm. And for Holmen?
Well, I share the view of Fredrik. It's quite a good situation, or we have a good situation behind us, but it is a bit tricky to predict about the coming months due to the second wave of coronavirus. I would say things look generally good, but of course it could be a bigger reduction in consumption, which we can't estimate right now.
So, Christian, to finalize this discussion about the current market situation, what's your view, and what do you think when will happen when we get into Q1 here?
Well, I think standing here in November, we are seeing extremely low inventory levels, both in Swedish sawmills and on main markets, all through the supply chain, which has meant increasing prices on many markets as well. I believe that if we disregard any effects or potential effects of the a second wave of coronavirus, I think the market will remain optimistic for a couple of months or half a year more. It will take some time to balance all of these inventory levels. But then again, I don't think we can shut our eye to that coronavirus in general will mean a decline in demand for a year or two at least. And production on many markets is ramping up as well. So it will take time. It will be interesting, but in a short term, I'm fairly optimistic.
Okay, so it is time to introduce our secret guest that is not here in the studio. Welcome, David Hopkins, Managing Director of Timber Trade Federation in UK. UK being our biggest export market from Sweden. So, David, welcome to the show. And where are you right now?
I'm actually sitting in my kitchen in the east of London. So Yeah, watching as we go into another lockdown in the UK for COVID.
Yeah, and I mean, that is my first question to you. We have been talking a lot here about the COVID situation for the Swedish mills. How is the situation now in UK?
I would describe the situation as mixed. I mean, it's not a good situation in the UK. We've had what they call the first wave of COVID, the first wave of measures and restrictions in society in general and on the economy. And now, over the summer, when they relaxed those measures, the rates of infection went up. So now we are seeing this week more restrictions being put in place and what we call a second lockdown, which is likely to last 4 weeks and be lifted again just before Christmas. So it's a worrying time. What we've seen through the year is probably exactly the same everywhere else, as a big slowdown in April and May, followed by a big pickup with the DIY sector. Now, of course, we are seeing a lot of shortages in stocks throughout the timber supply chain in the UK, particularly at the merchant sector. But now that is going into the house building and other forms of construction sector. So it is a bit worrying. Much longer lead times, as I'm sure you're aware. We hope, though, that this will be balancing out quite soon, but it's a bit early to tell.
So the lockdown that you're getting into now, will that be a very similar lockdown to the one you had before? And will it affect the wood industry in any other way compared to the first one?
No, I don't think so. The conditions are roughly the same as they were earlier in the year. The difference this time is that the schools will remain open. And of course, when the schools remain open, everybody can go to work because their children are obviously taken care of. So it makes it a lot easier for the economy to function. So I don't think it will be as restrictive as the first lockdown. However, what we have seen in terms of the wood sector, during the spring and summer months, obviously everybody wants to do DIY. They want to be in their garden, changing their garden, new fencing, new decking. Inside, you can do a lot of work on your own house. In the winter, you're less likely to do that. And what we really have seen in the change in markets is that the domestic, you know, private household DIY sector really boomed during this year. But that meant that the commercial refurbishment sector, the restaurants, the bars, the hotels, which in the UK economy, that turns over quite quickly. That's quite a good source of income for timber products. That commercial sector of refurbishment was not changing because all of those shops and restaurants and bars were closed. So I think in the winter, we will see now quite a big slowdown. In a way, that's natural. It will allow a bit of time for our importers to start to rebuild their stock levels, we hope. So you know, which will be good. But for the main part of the timber economy, construction and manufacturing are not affected by this latest lockdown. So it's not so bad for our sector as it is for others.
Mm. Christian, what do you see in the Swedish export figures to UK? How have they been during this autumn?
Well, I think we saw the effect there in April and May. Export figures declined drastically, which is quite a big thing because UK is our most important export market. Clearly, the single biggest one. I was a bit worried, to be honest, during the summer because despite reached by news that demand was back again and export functioned well, we didn't see that the actual export figures catched up until I think it was August, which was actually quite a bit of a relief seeing that we're back on track on typical delivery volumes.
Maybe someone, some of you have a question to David. Johan?
Yes, David, you said, just a clarification there, of course, last lockdown was during the spring period when you could expect a lot of do-it-yourself activities. But what is your estimation on the DIY sector during this second lockdown?
Yeah, so my views on this second lockdown are that because of the change in weather and the fact that it's colder and it's wetter, people are less likely to be doing particularly garden projects. You know, that's an activity for the spring and the summer. And a lot of the wood, a lot of the demand for timber in the UK was around decking, fencing and other garden products. So I don't think we're going to see that during this lockdown period. However, that said, when we speak to our importers, their view is that demand is still very, very high and they cannot get enough wood to meet the demand in the UK at the moment. We don't know how long that will last. I think it is a question of merchant businesses really wanting to build their stocks up ahead of next year. We have to imagine that even if we don't have a lockdown, we will have COVID restrictions changing our behavior for most of next year. So that will mean the money that you may have spent on a, you know, going on holiday to Spain or whatever, you will now probably spend refurbishing your home. And I think the merchants in particular want to make sure they have the stocks to meet that demand next year. And so I don't think it's an entirely negative picture right now for the timber sector. This has certainly changed patterns of demand. When we struggled, we really struggled to meet that. And we are still struggling to meet that demand. And there are gaps in the product range for timber products, particularly things like carcassing, CLS, these sorts of standard construction products now. But that said, the demand is still strong. The demand is still there. It will, of course, it will slow over winter, but we are expecting to see it, the demand maintain through into next year as well.
So I think we can all conclude if we look at this on the bigger picture. I'm not only talking UK now. That this COVID it has been like a real wake up call for business and of course for society as a whole. And we can no longer take for granted that we always will have open trade and travel for products and persons. So if we look a little bit more long term, what implications do you think this will have on the global wood trade, if any, if we look 2 to 5 years from now? Not an easy question, I know, but Fredrik Moelven, do you want to start?
As already mentioned, we have seen much less traveling due to restrictions, and I think that will change a little bit in general our behavior when it comes to traveling in the coming years. So even if it opens up more and more within 2-3 years, I think we will have a trend that people want to stay closer to home and improve their homes much more than before. So that's my idea about the coming years.
Johan, has Holmen changed their market strategy already for the coming years?
No, I wouldn't say so. We have believed in wood all the time. We still believe in wood, and I believe in what Fredrik is saying. On the other hand, of course, you could. It's difficult to predict the general economy. What will happen, and if we get a recession out of COVID, that can of course affect the total wood demand in the world. we can't see that yet happening, but it is a risk, I would say. But then on the other hand, we see that wood, this fantastic material, is taking shares from other materials. And it's also an answer to the climate crisis, which actually is another crisis we're having up in all this. So I believe in the future, but it could be a bumpy ride.
Christian, do you see any signals for the future?
Well, I think we are seeing two things, both the effect of perhaps less of the home finances being spent on traveling and then being spent more at home, which can have an effect for a few years. And on the other hand, we are also seeing GDP predictions, especially for Europe, which are by all means looking a bit dampened for the next few years. And those predictions actually, or projections actually, say that they expect GDP levels to be around 2019 levels only by 2023 or somewhere around there. And that will, of course, then have some impact on the construction market. But it's difficult to see where the balance will land, as always, when looking into the future.
And David, I hate to bring this up with you, but there is another thing happening in UK that we've heard about for a while, and now it seems like it will finally happen.
Yes.
Can you please give us a little bit of an update?
Well, yes, the dreaded Brexit is upon us. And so we've been talking about this for 4 years, more than 4 years, and now it is happening. So there's several things to say here, but I will try and keep it short. The main thing to say is that we worried all the time about getting no deal. And now the deal that our Prime Minister is seeking to achieve with the EU is not very different from the no deal scenario. So we will have restrictions about customs, and there will be a lot of paperwork. We will have restrictions on plant health. We will have restrictions on due diligence, for example, a whole range of issues and paperwork and bureaucracy that goes with this. But I do think that they will get a deal. I know that they keep dancing around this subject, but I do think that they will get the deal. But the deal will not be brilliant. So it will be just the start of more years of negotiation. However, having said all of that, I think that there are two things to look at here. There are the specific bureaucracy measures which will act on the timber supply chain. And I think that the timber supply chain is in good shape to meet those challenges. I think that our importers have all of the tools and the knowledge and the training that they need to get through the issues. Where I think that there will be problems at least for the first 6 months is in transport and logistics. I think depending where you're bringing timber in from, most of the timber coming in from Sweden, absolutely fine. It comes in containers by boat, lands on the east coast of the UK, and it can be driven on from there. I think some of the imports from Austria, from Germany, from other places in Europe will be affected, because when you talk to the drivers, and we've been having this conversation with our importers a lot, you could commission a lorry to drive your timber from, say, Germany, and it will cost you, you know, a few thousand pounds to do the round trip from Germany to UK back to Germany. But right now, none of the drivers from mainland Europe want to come to the UK because they are scared of getting stuck in a traffic jam in southern UK by the ports and being stuck there for 3 to 5 days. So nobody wants to do that. And so there will be problems. I think that they will adjust during the course of next year, but I think that the timber supply chain will be affected, not by the specific measures that relate to the timber, but by the wider economic problems that it will cause.
Mm-hmm. Johan, is Holmen prepared for Brexit?
Well, we have done a lot of different scenarios and prepared ourselves as good as possible. But it is a very tricky situation, and it's difficult to say what the effects will be. But long term, I believe that Swedish wood has a good position in UK. We have been there for many years, and we expect that we will have our share there for the future as well. But I share these worries that David has, that transportation, logistics, paperwork, we will have a bumper road the first months or half a year maybe. But I see it positive anyway, that Swedish would have a place in UK.
And, well, I mean, like we talked about before, we are used to doing export to many countries outside European Union, and we are used. We never want to have more administration and more that the business becomes more complicated. But I think our sawmills here in Sweden will be able to handle it. Fredrik, from Uelven's point of view.
Yes, as Johan in Holmen said, we have looked at different scenarios, but first of all, we are well prepared to handle the custom clearance thing. All the administration this will be forced on us and our customers. So we will handle it. A couple of months with some tricky administration, I think it will be smooth after that.
At least now, finally, we get to know the rules and what will happen. So at least the uncertainty part will disappear, which I think will be very important when we make our market plans for our export to UK in the future. David, anything to add on that?
Yes, I mean, I think it is good. We do have a degree of certainty now about what the rules will be and so on. I think over time people will get used to the changes and it will just become routine. It's the first 6 months or so that I think will cause problems. But like I say, I think the Swedish timber supply chain will be the least affected of all. As the UK, we're a net importer. We bring material from Austria, Germany, France, elsewhere, and that will be worse hit, frankly, because it all comes by road. So, I think there'll be a lot of problems to start with, but we will get through them. And we do have, for all members of Swedish Wood as well, there are a lot of resources on the TTF website. There is a whole Brexit section, and you are free to download all of the information and all of the guidance training that you will need direct from the TTF website.
Yeah, very good that you mentioned that, David. Thank you. Okay, we also have another trend that has been going on for quite some time in the sawmilling industry here in Sweden, and that is consolidation. Our sawmills get fewer and fewer, but they get bigger and bigger. And Holmen, for example, you have contributed quite a lot in this process. You bought a small sawmill some years ago, and then this summer something a little bit bigger happened. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Johan?
Yes, first you mentioned the Linghem acquisition in 2017, and then now we got the opportunity to acquire Martinsons in north of Sweden. And that is a fantastic move for us to get Martinson into the Holmen family, to join these two companies. And further on, we also, as I mentioned in the beginning, we have a lot of forest holdings, and a lot of those forest holdings are in the area where Martinsson is active. So it also combines our forest with sawmill industry. And it also brings us ahead in the value chain, as Martinsson's is quite active in glue-laminated beams and in cross-laminated timber.
Yeah, now you get involved in the wood construction sector. Was that a strategic decision as well?
Yes, it was, I would say. We have been looking into that sector for many years. On the other hand, then we have said it's a long step for us, as we have not so much added value in our portfolio since before. So this was a very good combination of different strategic moves that we could do in one move, so to say.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to follow this development.
Yes, thank you.
And if we continue to look a little bit ahead in the future here, we also have a situation that could potentially become very important for the industry here in Sweden, and that is the severe bark beetle situation. We have it here in Sweden, in southern Sweden, but the main problems is down in Central Europe. Christian, can you give us a little bit of an update of how big are the problems in Central Europe at the moment?
Catastrophic. I don't have the latest figures, but the situation in general in Central Europe is quite difficult. We are talking about a situation over the last few years that has increased from damage levels of around 20% of harvesting up to levels that now are above 100%. So we've heard news that they are constrained in harvesting capacity, and there's been talk about bringing in military in Austria, I think it was, to make sure to get the trees out of the forest and make sure to keep the damages down for the future. Biologically speaking, the situation is terrible, and there's, of course, then difficult to get out of the situation now. The bark beetles are there. All you can do now is try to keep them as stable as possible. The Swedish situation is not nearly the same one as the one in Central Europe. We have had, by all means, some damages in the south. But I think the most important thing to take with you here is that everyone needs to be active and make sure to take care of damaged wood in Sweden to make sure that we don't get the same situation as in Central Europe.
And from a market point of view, what will this mean for the production of spruce in Sweden if we maybe see a scenario a few years ahead where the Central European production will actually be reduced, which was just what happened in Canada when they had the similar problems before?
Well, in a few years' time, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens. If we have a decline then in production, that will, of course, mean better opportunities for Swedish sawmills. But it will also likely mean that they have an overcapacity in Central Europe, which will drive then prices of roundwood upwards, which can also impact the Swedish situation. But I think looking at the current situation, my biggest worry is then, well, since there are so big damages in Central Europe, that means that they need to produce as much as they can. And they do. They go at full production capacity all the time. And they are exporting roundwood logs to China just to get the damaged wood out of there, just to make sure to be able to handle the situation the best possible. So if we are now in a situation where demand might decline in the next few years due to corona pandemics and economic effects, then it can become a bit difficult, because we do have and will see an oversupply from Central Europe. no matter what actually happens on the demand side, which will then, of course, increase or impact the world balance of supply and demand.
So maybe an oversupply to be followed by a reduction in production capacity a little bit later. Is that what you foresee?
Yeah.
So maybe this is something that you need to take into consideration as well when you do your marketing plans for the future. What do you say, Fredrik? Will there be a slightly different situation for the spruce production in Sweden?
Yeah, we have the last years we have seen in our region where we are active in Sweden, we see an increase, a small increase every year in harvesting of spruce logs. I think we will see that even more the coming years, not only due to bark beetles, but the growth in the forest where we are active is more on spruce than pine. So it will have some effect, I'm sure.
Holmen?
Yes, we see also that we have to produce more spruce during these years. We turn our Braviken mill into 100% spruce during time of the year. However, I see a market for the damaged logs is really the US, and I think that comes from what you mentioned, Matthias. They have had problems from Canada with the mountain pine beetle. So they are used to damaged wood, or that the wood is a little bit blue stained. And that's where I think most of the damaged wood from Central Europe and from south of Sweden can find a home. So there will be other patterns, but I'm not that worried about it, actually, out of a market perspective.
David, do you see any implications of the bark beetles in UK?
Yes, well, it's something that we discuss a lot. Obviously, the UK is a net importer, not producer of timber. So far, we're seeing it from mainly in countries from which we do not import very much. The Czech Republic and elsewhere in sort of mainland and southern Europe. It hasn't really commercially affected the Swedish and Finland stocks, as you say. I think when it does, then it will come onto the radar of the UK importers and the UK market much, much more. Hopefully that won't happen, and hopefully measures are being taken to prevent the spread. But it does seem to me like a big worry. And the worry is that those countries like the Czech Republic, where they will cut the spruce and then not replant. There seem to be moves in the Czech Republic now to change those forests that were spruce into deciduous plantations and deciduous forests. That in a perception sense, in the perception of spruce in the market, could have an effect, could have a negative effect. I don't know. So I think in the long term, there may be other aspects beyond the immediate market impacts, but longer term market impacts about the perception of plantation spruce. That's my worry with this.
Okay, so our time is up. Those will be the last words for today. I would like to say thank you to all the participants here in the studio in Stockholm, and especially to you, David, for taking your time from London. Thank you very much for joining us, and take care.
Thank you.
If you want to keep yourself updated on wood and wooden products from both a Swedish and an international perspective, I think you should go to social media and follow Swedish Wood there. You can also go to our homepage, www.swedishwood.com. There we give you regular updates of what we are doing. With that, I want to say thank you again, and I hope to see you all soon. Thank you for listening.